Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
But look, first this morning, Green Party councillor and former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chew, wrote an article for the Irish Times this week about breast cancer. And it all started with an evening in May when she was watching the telly. Hazel Chew, good morning to you. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Miriam.
What did you discover that night in May? Take me back.
Oh, it was one of those human evenings where we put Alex to bed, it was, okay, well, sit, watch some telly. And I was there going to the other half, oh, I find a little lump here. And Patrick, my husband, just went, like, is it a blocked duct? Is it something? Because he's watched me during my breastfeeding journey. And as a breastfeeder, there was lots of that back in the day. So he just thought that's the first thing. And I said, oh, maybe I'll go get it checked out at some stage. And his point was, because I have a history of breast cancer in my family, he really wanted me to go check it early. So I did book in. But being like going through life, as you know, Miriam, especially with kids, it's the last thing in your mind. So summer camp started, all the other things started, and I eventually went to the GP, and then the GP also looked at it and went, oh, I don't think it's anything, but you know what, again, with your history, we'll send you to go get checked. And I was lucky insofar, because it's symptomatic, there's a symptom, I was sent into the rapid breast clinic in St. Vincent's, rather than waiting for a screening or anything like that. So I went in and I got a triple assessment then in St. Vincent's.
And when you say history, it's because there is a history of breast cancer in your family, isn't there, Hazel?
There is. My aunt also had early stage breast cancer, but my poor cousin Sharon had a much later stage. So I would have seen them both. I'm very close to both of them. I used to live with my aunt and my cousins, and I would have seen them through from diagnosis to treatment to surgery, or surgery to treatment. So it was always in the back of my mind, and I always thought, oh God, will this happen to me or my mum or my other cousin? And always hoping not. But even in the clinic, it wasn't my first time in the clinic, because I had already been checked that a previous year on my left side. So I thought, well, it's probably like the last time, it'll be fine. And you always think in your mind, it's fine. So they did a consultancy, they gave me a mammogram, the doctor spoke to me and told me it'll be a mammogram, it'll be an ultrasound, and if they find something, it'll be a biopsy. And by the end of the second hour, there was a biopsy. And then by the end of the fourth hour, they were saying, listen, we did the biopsy, it should be fine, but we'll call you and let you know. And that was then, okay, done, go home. And it just so happened I had a funeral that week of the mum of a dear friend, Kathleen, who passed away from breast cancer actually that week. So it was one of those weeks where it had always been on my mind. So when we got to the cemetery and I was pulling out, I still remember the call from Sharon. She had said, Hazel, I can't tell you over the phone, but you need to come in and you need to bring someone with you. And I straight away thought, okay, the blob that the consultant referred to obviously wasn't just a blob. So I stopped the car, I turned to Patrick and I said, okay, we have to go in next Monday. And he knew straight away and he just went, right. And the worst part is not knowing, because you then spend the weekend, because there was a couple of days literally running through every scenario in your head, and it's the worst scenarios as well. It's like, oh God, is this going to be like what it is, or the worst case? And it's not until you get an answer then you know how to plan things. So by the Monday when I went in, I was given an answer that it was early stages, which is great. So, and it's not to minimize others who are have this same experience, not at all. It's just from my perspective, I was so glad after seeing someone that was close to me that had late stage cancer, of how hard it is. And after being to a funeral, that I just felt so relieved that it was early stages. And we were then told, okay, this is what needs to happen. You're going to get surgery, you're going to get treatment, but we need to run you through some more tests first. Which I thought, why? We already had those tests. And they said, no, those are just initial investigations. Now we run all the tests to make sure we know what we're dealing with. So that was when the MRI happened, and they discovered that it wasn't just on my right side, it was on my left side as well. And there was another spot on my right side as well. So,
and do they tell you that there and then, Hazel, you know, when you were having that, do they say, you know, it's on the other side?
No, they can't, because what they saw initially was something on my right side. Mm. And this is also why, and I was laughing with a friend going, it's the joys and tragedy of having dense boobs, of having boobs. Mm. It's just, sorry for saying boobs on there, but it's because with dense breast tissue, it has been scientifically proven and researched that it doesn't get picked up as easily any issues with mammogram and general screening. So even though it was on my left side, they didn't see it. They didn't see it at all. And it was only in the MRI then with a clearer screen that they saw it. And this is why in overseas countries like the US, there are campaigns happening to make sure women with dense breasts have that extra screen as well. But for me, it was when, it's funny, I'm not sure if your listeners would be familiar with MRIs. I know a lot of people would have had one, but with a breast MRI, it's really different. I was expecting to be lying on my back and going, okay, it's going to be claustrophobic, but I'll deal with it. But you were lying on your front. So there was this little like raised padded area, and you were lying there on your front and going, oh, hang on, there's like 2 inches of metal away from my nose. And then they put the headphones on. I was like, oh my God, I'm trapped even more. And it was that point that they finally made me realize I was sick. It was that, and I said it in the article that there's a moment where everyone knows it, that loneliness and fear of when you're sick, be it cancer, be it any type of illness, because even with the best support system, and I was very lucky, I had a very supportive family, friends, medical team. Even with the best support system, you're dealing with it. You're the one dealing with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of being sick. So I felt really lonely at that moment. And then after it was finished, I went out and I just had a good cry. And it was the first time I cried properly over it, because it was, you had 20 minutes of your senses being invaded by the clanking, the whirling, everything of the machine. And that's when you realize, oh, hang on, there's a reason this is happening, in that there's a reason you're going through this procedure, because they have to check something that's wrong with your body and you're sick. So
do you think, Hazel, that was the first moment it really hit you that you were sick?
Yeah, it was. Like beforehand, I was very kind of stoic, I don't know, is that the best way to describe it? Was okay, and I'm a project manager, so it was like, right, there's this problem and we'll deal with it. I'm like, crisis manager was what I used to work with, and there's this, so I need to like fix it, need to deal with it, and it'll be done. Whereas in that machine, I couldn't move. I knew, okay, there's an extent of this where it's my will and being trying to be healthy that will fix this. But a lot of it is dependent on surgery, on medication, on treatment, and how things go as well. So there was a bit of loss of, how will I say, agency in that moment. And it's hard. It is really hard.
How did Patrick, your husband, take it? And also then you both had to decide how you tell your daughter Alex. She's only 7. Oh. Tell me first about Patrick.
So Patrick is a complete and utter starbar. So like, I know everyone says that about their spouses, but in the last year, because we're a household that ran campaigns, like there were moments we were about to kill each other, Miriam, like honestly kill each other. So when we found this out, there were, and I knew in my head, okay, there's one or two ways this would go. And I've seen couples, because again, people who are close to me, I've seen couples who have complete breakdowns over it, that it doesn't work because they can't, they just not that they don't know how to take it, but it's hard for both of them. But in Patrick's case, I think having come from a social worker background, he took it as that. I think I was his sudden social work project all of a sudden of like, we need to mind her. But in a very practical sense, like he was very much, okay, this is what will happen. You know that, Hazel, you've seen it. But you also have to let go of certain things because I'm a complete control freak. So he was very much, these are things you have to let go of. And we'll have to talk to Alex. And I was reluctant, and he was also reluctant to tell her initially. She is 7, and we normally talk to her about a lot of things. And even when her granny, Patrick's mum, had breast cancer, we took a while to tell her because we needed to let her know granny's okay, she's going to get better. So we weren't sure how to tell her. But then I was coming back from MRI biopsies, which is something we'll talk about. But I was coming back from them black and blue, and like she would see it. So there was no point in hiding it. So we sat her down and we explained, Mama is so bruised here because, and we told her there's a lump there and they're finding another lump. And that's why I'm bruised and I'm going to need surgery. And immediately she just goes, can we name the lump, Mama? And I was like, going, sure. Well, right now it's called Blob. So if you have a better name for Blob, it would be good. And she just went, let me think. And she goes, Todd. And I just went, my God, who does she hate that's called Todd? So we laughed. We actually burst out laughing at this. And it kind of made me realize, oh God, like in years to come, she's going to have this irrational hatred of the name Todd. And she's not going to understand why, because she won't remember, hopefully. But it made her realize, okay, this thing with a name is going to have to go.
Todd.
And his Todd and his mates are going to have to go. And it was a practical and I guess more sensible way of her to deal with it without having to go into any of the medical connotations or any of the procedures. Just straightforward, this is what it is, this is what I'm going in to do in terms of surgery. Afterwards it might be radio, it might be something else, but we will deal with that part. So
Todd, so tell me about the decision then to have surgery. What advice did you get and what did you decide? Like, were you given options?
I was given options, and I guess the options were based on their findings. And the MRI was one way to find stuff. The reason why I want to mention the MRI biopsy is because some people asked me during the week what that was and how it felt like. It is a horrific procedure, the MRI biopsy. But it is where you lie there with the MRI, breast MRI, but they then clamp two plates on your breast and put a needle in. And this whole thing takes an hour, and it was the most painful thing ever, but it is very necessary. The reason why I bring it up is because two reasons. I had a doctor there called Dr. Amy O'Brien, who was just amazing in St. Vincent's, that did both those biopsies. And she did it with such good humor and grace, even though I was terrified and I was sore. And she tried to do it as quick as possible, but it still took ages. But it is also very necessary when you are dealing with something that you're trying to gather the full extent of things. So if someone is being told they need to get an MRI biopsy, please don't be scared. Do it. It's not nice at all, but it is necessary. And once you get it done, it is much better. And when you come out of the other side, they have a very clear picture of what they're dealing with. So my surgeon, Ruth Pritchard, she was amazing. And she said, okay, here are your options. And Sharon, my clinical nurse, equally amazing. The two of them said, okay, here is what we're dealing with. And here are your options. And your options are, we can do a straight bilateral incision on both, which is take the front of both your breasts, or something we also would recommend is going in from underneath and actually taking a bit more out as well. And that will have a longer healing time and it's a longer surgery. But it will be, it's like, they didn't want to say, listen, it looked better, because it's not what their initial concern is always about. But Sharon knew, after seeing so many women through this, her thing was, Hazel, I want you to think about this, because as much as you don't care about aesthetics right now, you will in future and think about it. But me being me was like, please take it out now. I want this out now. And I just said, I'll go with the straightforward option, in and out, take it out. And I signed the consent form for that. And what I would say to your listeners is, if you are in that position where you need surgery and your surgical team, medical team presents you with options, take some time to think about it. It is very hard to take a pause in that moment, because there's so much going through your mind and your initial thought is to be better and get it out, and you don't want cancer inside you. But do take that time, because I look at myself in the mirror now after the surgery, and I had a very good cry the first time, but I also, I knew exactly what Sharon was talking about now. And I wish I listened to her. And that's not something I admit all the time, but I do. I wish I listened to her. But thankfully, I have an amazing husband who still loves my wonky boobs. So, but, or at least he says he does.
But you just had that surgery really very recently.
Last Thursday. Not the Thursday gone, but the one before.
And before we talk about what's going to happen now in terms of radio chemo, tell me about this morning. I mean, it's an example at 5 a.m.
Yeah, so Sharon and the team also had said, please rest, Hazel. We know you don't like resting, because all the way, even waiting at the clinics, I was always working. I had my laptop with me working at times. And they had warned me, after surgery, rest. So I did for the initial while. But then last, just the Thursday gone, a week after surgery, I wanted to launch our Green Party budget, because I'm their spokesperson for expenditure. I also wanted to go to the Palestine rally, because people had just been kidnapped. Our own people had been kidnapped. So I wanted to go and support. So I went to those two things. And when I went home, I was there going, oh my God, I'm so sore, you idiot, Hazel. And I went home and I went to bed, and the next day I stayed in bed. And yesterday, last night when I was going downstairs to get painkillers, I slipped.
At five in the morning,
wasn't it? At five in the morning. Again, with the not wanting to bother people mindset, I went downstairs and slipped on the stairs and landed pretty hard, and was there in tears going, oh, Hazel, your husband's right. You gotta have to let go of something. And this is the thing, like, for anyone listening who maybe experienced the same or much worse, the fact is, cancer doesn't define us or diminish us. But there are going to be times where we need help. And I am very, I find it very hard to admit that part. And I guess one of the things I need to do is start admitting that part.
But you've got Patrick at five in the morning. He said, why didn't you get me earlier? And he helped you. He got you up.
I was trying not to wake our kid. And he came down and he looked at me and shook his head and just said, he gave me a hug first, but then he shook his head and said, Hazel, come on. And he got me up and he gave me painkillers, but it was sore. So, but it was a real sign of, listen, you might need to let some things go. So.
And listen, you won't, is it next Friday you'll know whether or not the next stage is radiation or chemo?
Yes, this coming Friday. I've been told that it's likely radiation. But then Sharon was very clear to say, Hazel, you as well as anyone going through this knows now at this stage that it's never clear. Because initially I was told it was just a blob. Initially I was told it mightn't be anything. And then it became one thing, then it became an extra thing. So she was very clear on, we don't know yet. So this Friday, when we do know, you'll know the next plan. And that acceptance of not knowing until when you are told is also very hard. So I think patience is something you learn going through this. So,
and then, as we close, I know you also say there's a loneliness to it. You wrote that in your piece.
I wrote it, and again, like, I feel bad for, because when after my piece came out, loads of my friends texted going, are you okay? Like, in a, oh, let us help you. But it's not that I don't have the support. I'm so lucky to have the support of family and friends. But again, it's more, I'm the one that's sick. And I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky that I'm early stages. And no, I know I have a good survival rate. But there are people who are a lot less lucky and in that position where they have a worse prognosis and there's and they have to deal with this as well. And it's that loneliness. And everyone feels that when they're sick.
Well, look, I know you wrote the piece in the Irish Times. You're here today because you want to share your story for the sake of other women. And I know we could talk for another hour, Hazel, because I know you want the screening age broadened and you have spoken to the minister. We'll do that another day. But Hazel Chu, I'll be thinking of you on Friday.
Thank you.
We all will. I wish you the...
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, though. So anything, if anything, please just be aware of all the charities that are raising awareness. Breast Cancer Ireland, Irish Cancer Society, Mary Keating. So we do need to get everyone checking and we need to reduce the age if possible.
And that's really important. If listeners are looking for more information, the Irish Cancer Society website is a great resource, cancer.ie. Their helpline, 1800 200 700. And this is, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Hazel Chu, thank you so much for being my guest
thank
this morning.
You.
Wish you the very, very best.
Thank you.
And lots of texts this morning, especially about Hazel. I've only time for one. Thank you, Hazel. I'm a mum of three in my mid-40s, a business owner, too busy to be sick. I'm going to a symptomatic breast check on Tuesday and I'm so terrified. I've felt very alone, even though I have a very supportive husband. Your decision to share your diagnosis and journey is so appreciated. Thank you.